National Radio Club.
Heidi Xers, welcome to Market Scope for October 2003. I hope you all had a great time and a lot of fun in Dallas at the convention last month. Mike Lance sent it a quick tour of Miami's FM dial for our listening enjoyment. So here are Miami's FMs from top to bottom.
Welcome to a special Market Scope. This will be an FM Market Scope of all of the FM stations in the Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach County area. We will be having most of the FM stations except the pirate stations, and we have many pirate stations that are on the air in South Florida. First, let us begin with 107.5 WAMR, which is a Spanish station, which originally was WIGL-FM.
Mas te amo.
Te amo.
Te amo.
Soy pesado. Es antiguo.
Now we move to Romanza 106.7, which is a pop music station in Spanish.
No solo es música,
es la mejor música romántica de hoy.
106.7, Romance.
Romance.
No me conoces, y hace tres noches que dormiste entre mis brazos.
Now we move to 105.9, Classic Rock, WBGG. Move to 105.1, which is Hot 105. Their call letters are WHQT.
And while you're there, pick up a Hampton Bay 48-inch Palm Beach white ceiling fan. Great for the indoors or outdoors. It comes with a light kit and a remote control, and it's only $119.
The Home Depot is here to put our know-how to work for you. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Now we move to Sunny 104.3 WEAT-FM.
218-8231. 1-800-218-8231.
Now, back to more music on South Florida's only station playing today's hits and yesterday's favorites.
Sunny
5, which recently became The Beat. They were Mega 104.3. They were playing disco from the 70s and 80s. Then we're going to hit Magic 102.7, WMXJ, which is Oldies 102.7, and we'll let you hear a little bit of both of those.
.com/postal inspectors. The United States Postal Service is an equal opportunity employer. Women and minority candidates are encouraged to apply.
So maybe you have a bad driving record, like me.
Now we come to Magic 102.7, and here we go. WMXJ.
Magic 102.7.
Station is Light 101.5 WLYF.
RSL. Trusted everywhere.
Here's a three-day forecast from 101.5 Light FM and NBC6, brought to you by Duracell, trusted everywhere. Could see a few storms around this afternoon. Skylight color radar showing most of them inland. Highs the lower 90s, lows tonight, upper 70s. Tomorrow, same slight rain chance. Wednesday, though, increase in storms as a tropical wave near South Florida. The WMYF Miami temperature is 88 degrees. Bremer Pines, 87, and it's 88 in Coral Springs. Good afternoon. It's a minute past 2. This is Gail Garten on South Florida's number one Listen While You Work station. Now, another hour. Light music and less stress. Thanks for turning on the light.
101.5 Light FM.
to Y100 WHYI, Fort Lauderdale, Miami.
Rock your body, come on, dance me. You don't have to admit, you don't have to admit. Wanna play, just dance me.
Next, we move to 99.9 WKIS-FM out of Boca Raton, Miami. And they are Kiss Country 99.9.
She likes all the shoes on wrong, cause she likes to dress herself. And the most beautiful girl, holding both of them.
Next, we move to 99.1 WEDR 99 Jams. Next, we move to 98.3. We're going to do a few stations here. 98.3 is Spanish, and they play English music too. And they're out of Goose, Florida, which is near Homestead. Their call letters are WRTO. Then we're going to move to 97.9, your variety station, WRMF, out of Palm Beach. Then we're going to move to Coast 97.3 WFLC. Then we're going to move to Power 96 WPOW.
Number one at work, South Florida's variety station, 97.9 WRMF.
Living my life in a slow hell.
La 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 la.
97.3 The Coast, the best variety of the 80s, 90s, and today. Inside a 50-minute music hour, this is Crowded House.
Now we move to 95.7 Soul, Radio Soul.
Estaremos diciéndote quienes necesitan empacar sus bikinis para ir a Bávaro Beach. Cortesía de Presidente, la mejor cerveza, el verdadero sabor.
En Sol 95 y Budweiser, la reina de las cervezas, presenta el evento más esperado del verano.
13º Festival Independencia de Colombia.
Este domingo en el Tamiami Park.
Now we move to 94.9, which is Zeta 4, WZTA-FM. Change in radio history that happened back on December 31st, 2001. Now, that was when our classical music FM station, WTMI at 93.1, dropped classical music and went to a dance party format. Now they're known as WPYM and they're South Florida's Pure Dance Channel.
Ahora las tardes en Clásica 92.3 son más dinámicas, más alegres, más disco.
Disco.
Let's dance tonight.
con Susy Leván. Disco Fiesta, de lunes a viernes a las 5 de la tarde en
Clásica 92.
Now we move to WVUM 90.5. To Spirit FM 89.7, which is Contemporary Christian WMCU. Now we move to WDNA 88.9 Jazz and Rhythm Radio.
On the New Music Monday, Vivian's usually interviewing new artists and that. And the show is from 8 to 10 p.m., so be sure to check it out. They're also going to be in concert on July 18th at Hoy Como Ayer, and you'll be hearing some great music there. Speaking of live music, also have some information here on July 18th. Negroni's Trio is going to be performing live at Books and Books in Coral Gables.
We move to 88.3, Radio Paradise, WPRS.
Escuchas Paraíso 88.3.
Well, hope you enjoyed the Market Scope. This is Mike Lance in Miami Beach, Florida. Should you have any more questions or want to know more about the history of South Florida radio, you can write to me at 3425 Collins Avenue, either in Braille or in tape. That's 3425 Collins, C-O-L-I-N-S Avenue, Miami Beach, Florida, 33140, apartment 718. Or you can call me at 305-673-0430, and I'll be happy to answer your questions.
Thanks, Mike. It's always great to hear from you, and thanks for the great job on the Market Scope. Also, remember that we are still giving out free jingle assortment CDs to anyone who sends in a Market Scope. Send them to me, Phil Wayne, at 1872 Myers Road East, Marion, Ohio, 43302-8730. All the audio service members will be very appreciative of your contribution. Next up, the musings from our members.
Give us your thoughts about what's happening in your area. Call the Musings line at 419-224-1609, 24 hours a day. Keep your ears open, and when you hear something that's important for everyone to know, call us.
Hello, everybody. It's John German, Elmar Heights, for DX Audio Service. You ask about the power outage here in the east. Well, it just so happens on August 14th when they happened, I was coming back from a show committee meeting for barbershoppers downtown Elmira. What a difference. I turned it on, and CHWO was not there. I was able to get CKAC in Montreal, CBS Montreal, CJBC in Toronto was off, CHML and Hamilton was off, and believe it or not, WWLZ here in Elmira was off, and I was able to get WGY 810, WCCO 830 for once, and what a difference it made for at least that amount of hours. WWLZ didn't come on the air until about early the next morning.
This is Tim Hendel in Huntsville. I'd like the opinion of some of you who've actually worked in radio, such as Fred and John. Why don't radio stations give their listeners more technical information? In particular, I'm thinking of things like pattern change. During my entire life, I've only known of two radio stations who ever refer to their pattern change, although when they do it, it can leave lots and lots of listeners that had a good signal completely in the dark, and stations never tell people what's happening. Currently, WSM, which of course is on 650 with 50,000 watts non-directional, is doing some work on their tower, which means during the day they're using a low-power transmitter and a short tower. WSM signal normally during the day is very strong here. During this time of doing work, it's very marginal. I called the station, and they told me what they were doing, and then they said, we've been getting all kinds of calls from listeners. I said to them, why don't you make some announcements during the day on the air, because they're using their full power at night when they're not working on the tower. So I said, why don't you make some announcements on the air just before you go to that low power during the daytime? They said, that's a great idea, but guess what? They don't do it. Here's a case where a station with a wide reach is having abnormal transmission conditions. Why don't they tell their listeners? I don't know where I would turn if there was a power blackout, because local news coverage in this area is so awful. I would start with my NPR station. However, that NPR station has very little local news. If it was really widespread, I would tune to WSM. Otherwise, I'd tune up and down the Huntsville dial, trying to see what, if any, station was doing any coverage. But I must say, coverage of local emergencies is practically non-existent on the radio around here. Isn't that sad? When I was growing up, it was WHAM in Rochester anytime we had any kind of a problem in western New York. But now, just aren't stations that you can rely on.
Hello, DX Audio Service members. This is Lucille Burkhardt from Watertown, Massachusetts, with my pick of radio stations for the blackout information. I would pick AM 1030 WBZ. They are top-notch as far as any type of emergency coverage.
Greetings, DXers. It's Mark Erdman from Harrington, Kansas, and we got some news for you. Format flip in the Kansas City area yesterday as of 2 p.m., one of the last full-service news, music, and sports formatted stations on the AM band in a major market has switched format. 610 WDAF in Kansas City has flipped to an all-sports format and will soon take on the call letters KCSP. In the meantime, they're still WDAF. Now, they didn't blow up that format entirely. It's moved to the FM band at 106.5. That's all we have for now, and some of the programming also includes Sporting News Radio Network and eventually Jim Rome.
This is Tim Hendel. I had a chance to see the new Radio Shack radio that Fred described on the September DX audio service. The catalog number is 12-887. As Fred looked at the picture, he said that it looked very much like the Super Radio 3. However, in reality, the radio is quite a bit smaller. It does look very much like the Super 3 or the old Radio Shack 12-604, but it's quite a bit smaller and it uses C batteries instead of D. Also, it only has VHF television sound, channels 2 through 13, whereas the 12-604 also had UHF. It has a regular power cord, not a wall cube. I only had a chance to try the radio in the store, and I really could only try it on FM, so I can't say much except that the audio was pretty good. And I think the price was $49 or $39, I can't quite remember. So if you want a radio like that and you're satisfied with VHF, it might be a good little radio.
Hello, DXers. This is Ernie Weselowski in Omaha, Nebraska. I want to report to you that 61 Country, WDAF in Kansas City, Missouri, has changed call on the 10th of September to KCSP, 61 Sports. All sports now, all the time, and the country format moved over to the FM. So we had a wonderful time in Dallas, and hope to see you next year in New York. Bye-bye.
Hi, Fred and fellow DX members. This is Don Wilkerson, Calumet City, Illinois, or you might as well say Chicago. We're close enough. We have a new radio station coming on here, as Jerry Starr reported, I believe, last month. 1690 is going to be taken over by Clear Channel, and their calls originally were given to Johnson City, Illinois, and they moved the calls up to the Chicago area, to Berwyn, Illinois. Now, the old calls are WHTE. That's the original calls that they had. Now, they haven't announced whether they're going to keep those calls or not, but the station's going to be 50s and 60s, and they're going to have Tommy Edwards, who used to be Little Tommy on WLS in the 60s and 70s. They're going to have him team up again with Larry Lujack, and they're going to do a morning show. Tommy Edwards is the program director. Also, Ron Britton, who used to be on WCFL and other stations in the Chicago area, is also going to be on there. And he was, of course, known as King B when he was at WCFL. So this is going to be an interesting format, to say the least. So they're saying that they're going to be on by the end of the month. Of course, they'll be running 10,000 day and 1,000 night. So I thought you would find that quite interesting, and as soon as we can get a chance to tape them for you, we'll give you a little idea of what they're going to sound like. So you all take care, and we will talk to you soon.
Hello, fellow DXers. Wayne Ryan in Brantford, Ontario. What a great convention we had in Dallas, and I want to thank everybody, down to the last one, for how wonderful I was treated. It was absolutely great. I have no regrets at all. I enjoyed the tours. I enjoyed the food, all the camaraderie with the other members was out of this world. I can't say enough for it or about it. I gladly made some new friendships, too, with people like Dale Hamm and Jim Wisco, and I enjoyed our hosts, too, Wally and Bill and everybody, and I want to wish Jerry and Bonnie a very happy retirement. And I've had a telephone conversation recently with George Washington, one of our new members in Milwaukee, welcoming him into our club, and hope that he enjoys it for, well, the rest of our lives. I picked up a station on 1230, I think it was last night, early before dark, that was playing country music, but I couldn't get an ID on it. And I picked up Shelbyville, Tennessee tonight on 1580, really good country music. And I got a station on 1610, I think it's the one in Montreal playing the Caribbean music. I didn't get an ID from it either, but it's encouraging, all this that we're getting. And there's a new kind of radio coming out up here called Tivoli. Bay Bluer Radio in Toronto, a very big, influential radio store, is advertising them on the radio, and they might be worth looking into. I hear they have great tone and pick up very well. They cost a little bit, but sounds like it might be worth it.
Hi, I'm Bill Koppelman, N0JIO. You can email me at musicdude@comcast.net. And I think it's a great topic that you're talking about, because I live in Philadelphia, Brent, and we were real close to the place where everybody had electricity off. And I, of course, can get WCBS in New York City and listen to that station a lot, but my own station in Philadelphia, KYW 1060, was also very, very knowledgeable about a lot of things that were going on. So, great topic, and with these days of hurricanes and all that, a lot of people should expect that those battery radios are going to be needed. Thanks.
Hi, this is George from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I'd like to talk to several people on the DX Audio Service, and they could contact me at 414-461-9710. I'd like to talk radio with people. You know, I would like to talk radio with different ones, and they can. I'd like to correspond with different people that deal with radio, and because I love DXing. I love DXing. I've been DXing for several years. And so when I used to take bus trips across the country, certain parts of the country. I used to do DX on the bus, and I got all kinds of stations. So they can give me a jingle at my phone number here at 414-461-9710.
Hi, this is Don Finney from Miami, Florida. It's great to be aboard the DX Audio service. I received my first issue. It was great, especially the gentleman that reported on the WLW transmitter that was operating from 1935 to 1939 and also during World War II. That was fantastic. I would like to ask you a question, please, if I may. In the 1970s, I was turning on the radio one Saturday morning. I don't remember what station it was, but it was that was the first time I heard the American Top 40 show with Casey Kasem. Now, that was, I guess they call it a skip condition. I guess it was in Miami, Florida. I'm calling from Miami, Florida. And I was there at that time as well, and I guess the station was in Ohio. It was on the FM band. I don't remember what frequency it was on, but it was a skip condition. I think they call it a skip condition, which is an atmospheric phenomenon dealing with, if you can get stations all over the country when that happened. On July 4th of this year, from about 4 to about 6:30 in the afternoon, there was a skip condition I picked up on NOAA Weather Radio and various places such as their various cities in Oklahoma. Is this skip condition a new phenomenon, or has it occurred many, many years ago in the past and not occurred in the next few years? Because I've noticed that in the last 15 years it hasn't occurred that much in my area. Just thought I'd bring that up, and thank you very much. It's good to be aboard the DX Audio Service. Thanks a lot, folks.
And that is our musings to the members on this edition of the DX Audio Service. Remember, if you have something in your mind, something to say, give us a call today on the Action Line, 419-224-1609, 24 hours a day for DX Audio Service members only. And kind of an interesting question right there at the end about FMDX. Well, I don't profess to be the most keen FMDXer. I know a few people that are, and through the miracles of electronics, we can talk to this fellow like he's sitting right across from me at the table, all the way from Rochester, New York, Scott Feibusch. Scott, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Fred. How are you?
Real good, Scott, and we're just having a little rain here in Lima, so I'm just kind of sitting back, chilling, and doing the DX audio service. Hey, more importantly, how's the new baby, Avriel?
Oh, she's doing wonderfully. She's not DXing yet, but sooner or later.
And tell me, did you get any T-shirts for her down in Dallas at the auction?
There weren't any that were quite that small. There were some small ones, but nothing that was, you know, 3 to 6 months yet. So we'll have to wait. Hopefully somebody will send some this way.
Well, hopefully somebody will come up with a nice shirt. I remember my son Jonathan got one from, I think it was John Bowker. There was a KNBR shirt, and I know he loved that shirt until he grew out of it or so. Hey, listen, Scott, maybe you can help us out with a question here. Don Finney asked about this mysterious FM skip. What do you know about it?
The mysteries of propagation at the VHF band. There are two main modes that you run into, and the mode that he asked about was skip, which experienced FMDXers call sporadic E-skip because it happens in the E-layer of the ionosphere, and it is sporadic, to put it mildly, which means you have no idea really when specifically it's going to pop up. There are specific times of year that it happens. It really starts kicking in around April or May, dies out generally around the middle of July, and pops up sometimes very briefly again in December. And it generally will bring in stations starting at about 500 to 700 miles out, and they can go out to about 1,200 miles. So if you sort of draw two circles around you in that radius, that gives an idea of what you can expect to hear. It can last sometimes for a few minutes. There are times when you get a good opening that it can go on for hours.
Well, is there any end to the frequencies that this type of skip occurs at? I mean, can it go all the way up above the FM band?
There sure is. With any given opening, you have what's called a maximum usable frequency, which means that there is some point up to which the skip will hit, and beyond that, the skip won't transmit. Sometimes that can fall as low as the low-band VHF channels, which are down in the 54 to 88 megahertz range. So there are times you get skip on TV channels 2 and 3 and nothing above that. Sometimes it can go up into the top of the FM dial, and if you get a good skip opening, it'll go all the way up to 162 megahertz, which is where the NOAA weather stuff hangs out.
Well, would the skip also get up into, say, the UHF television band?
Generally not. Generally, what you experience there in terms of long-range reception is something called tropospheric ducting, which happens over shorter distances. Usually it starts picking up as close in as 50 or 60 miles and can keep going out to as much as about 500 or 700 miles. So there's a zone in which you can get stations through either tropo or through skip. But generally, by the time you get up into UHF, even into high-band VHF, which starts at 174 megahertz, skip is a very, very rare animal indeed.
Well, do you get this skip like Don's experiencing down in Miami?
Oh, you bet. It happens all over the country. Generally, the Northeast and the Midwest seem to do best at it, whether it's just because that's where the most DXers are who are paying attention to it, or whether that's where really the conditions are best, I'm not sure. But sure, I'm in a very impaired location here, as people will see when they come up for the NRC convention up here next summer, just to get an early plug in there. I live less than a mile from a hill that's home to all the TV stations and half the FMs in town. But even so, I have no low-band VHF TVs here, so on a nice early summer day, I can sit here and be watching Channel 3 out of Shreveport or Channel 2 out of Tulsa. That's not at all unusual here. FM is a little bit trickier just because my receiver gets overloaded so easily, but it sure does happen. You get FM from here into the Dakotas and Kansas, Nebraska, Iowa, all over that area.
Okay, now, on my radio here, I've got a lot of stations I can hear. Most are somewhat local, but then some are kind of distant, you know, like Fort Wayne or Columbus or so. How do you tell the real skip stations from just the kind of semi-locals?
Best thing to do is to identify an open channel in your area. That's very hard in Miami, particularly for Don, because every open channel is occupied by a pirate these days. But if you can find a channel that has nothing that's really local on it, just sort of keep an ear on it. What I do here in the summertime is I'm sitting here at my desk, and I've got a TV on above my desk that's tuned to Channel 2 with my antenna pointed sort of vaguely off to the southwest, which is where most of the skip comes in for me. And I just kind of keep an eye on it. And if something starts popping up there and I start seeing a signal, I can get a sense of what's happening where. And if the signal looks strong enough getting up into TV channels 5 and 6, which are on the lower end of the FM dial, then I flip over to FM and see what's happening there. But even if you just have an open FM channel that you flip on a couple of times a day or just leave it on in the background, if you start hearing a signal there, then you know there's skip.
Scott, does somebody have to have some real sophisticated equipment and big antennas? Or, I mean, can they get into FM and TV DXing with off-the-shelf stuff like you'd get at Walmart?
You don't need anything particular. You can get FM and TV skip on something as simple as a boombox. There's Saul Chernos up in Toronto, who's a member of the NRC, says his goal for next season is to pick up FM DX on this little $2 Tropicana orange-shaped radio that he found somewhere at a flea market. So if he can do it on that, you can do it on anything.
Those of us who DX the medium wave, the AM band, found out about the National Radio Club, and the National Radio Club's been around since 1933 and probably serves the AM radio DXer more than any club that I know of. Is there any kind of organization like the National Radio Club that's for the FM DXer?
Amazingly enough, there are. It's called the Worldwide TV FM DX Association. There is a surprising amount of overlap between their membership and our membership. I happen to be a member of both. They also hold an annual convention, which was actually up here in upstate New York this past summer, sort of a trial run for the NRC convention next year. And they are on the web at www.anarc.org/WTFDA. You can find all sorts of information about them. They also put out a monthly bulletin called the VHF-UHF Digest, which is full of the same sort of things you'll find in the DX News.
Changing directions here just for 1 second, Scott. I got a real interesting gift in the mail from one of our DX Audio Service members. And they must know that I love AM radio transmitters and towers. And this tower calendar showed up here. Do you know anything about it?
Funny you should mention that, Fred. As a matter of fact, I do. As a lot of club members probably already know, I put out the annual tower site calendar, which has 12 full-color portraits of famous transmitter sites around the country and sometimes around the world. And the 2004 edition is, in fact, available. You can order it on my website at www.fibush.com, or you can drop me an email at scott@fibush.com, and I'll let you know how to order it. Or there will be information in DX News in an upcoming issue, too.
Oh, I bet some conventioneers would just love to get their hands on those.
We had a couple of them down at the convention in Dallas as auction items.
Scott, I'd like to thank you for joining us here on the DX Audio Service and talking about the FM DX and through the miracles of the dual-line Comrex, I guess is what Wally says. But we're able to have you on here. Thanks again for joining us.
All righty. Good talking to you, Fred.
Scott Fibush, who's a member of the National Radio Club, DX Audio Service and DX News Magazine, WTFDA. He's written several articles for magazines such as Radio World Magazine, and also has his own website at www.fibush.com. A lot of neat information about radio stations and some good stories, too. So if you happen to meet up with Scott, let him know that you heard about him right here on the DX Audio Service. Time now for our Science and Technology column. Your radio is tuned to 530 kilohertz. When you hear this signal pop out of the ether.
En Nueva York y gran parte del Caribe, 7 de la noche.
Broadcasting from Paterson, New Jersey, by satellite to the world, this is WWRV New York, 1330 AM.
At 1310 AM, WVIP, Mount Kisco.
With Radio Visión Cristiana International, 530 AM, South Caicos, Turks and Caicos Islands, British West Indies.
That station has fooled many a DXer because you hear the 1330 in Paterson, New Jersey, and you wonder if it's a harmonic or some kind of failure of your radio to somehow stay on frequency. Actually, that's the Turks and Caicos Islands that's broadcasting that signal over a satellite. However, the same weekend that this reception was made, there was a very interesting signal on 1100. Let's give a listen. That recording was made by Russ Edmonds in Bluebell, Pennsylvania, and many DXers on our email list are wondering exactly what is causing the interference to WTAM in Cleveland, Ohio. It seems that the interference is pretty widespread because it's been heard in other locations. Take, for example, this recording made down south by Adam Myro. Many other people around the United States have also heard that signal, as well as myself. I can hear it here in Lima, Ohio, and I'm not really that far from WTAM in Cleveland. So if you're that super sleuth, someone who knows how to do the directional finding with your radio, why not give a listen to 1100 and then give us a call on the Musings line and tell us which direction it's coming from? Maybe if enough people are able to home in on it, we'll be able to solve that mystery. And I have my own mystery here to solve, and that is, who sent me this article? It's a nice article about the BBC, and unfortunately, whoever sent it didn't tell me who it was that mailed it, nor where the article appeared. And unfortunately, the postmark on the envelope does not match any DX Audio Service member's address. So, whoever sent this, thanks. The BBC helps the blind.
The BBC is playing a crucial role in developing new radio equipment that could help increasing number of visually impaired people working at that organization. Claire Jennings, the BBC's Disability Advisor for Technology, has been working alongside technology company Calrec to design a digital radio broadcast desk that is user-friendly for visually impaired radio producers. Across the country, BBC local radio stations are transferring from analog to digital equipment. The digital equipment is designed to make life easy for full-sighted broadcast journalists using a visually touchscreen system, which is why it needs to be adapted for visually impaired people. The BBC has spent the past few months working with Calrec to adapt the broadcast desk and with BBC technology to extend BNCS, the touchscreen control system, so it can convert text into speech and be controlled using a standard keyboard, as well as controlling sources to faders on the Calrec Sound Desk BNCS, it can control most other hardware in a similar manner. Claire Jennings, BBC's Disability Advisor for Technology, says the radio industry is facing some big technology changes at the moment, and it's important that we make the new equipment easy to use for people with disabilities. This is a really big step forward that we hopefully will encourage visually impaired people to consider a career in radio at the BBC, as well as helping existing staff. The adapted equipment is being piloted by BBC radio stations in Kent, Cornwall, and Stoke. For further information, contact Naomi Terry, that's T-A-R-R-Y, at BBC Technology Press Office, 4th floor, Brock House, and that's spelled B-R-O-C-K, 19 Langham, L-A-N-G-H-A-M Street, London, W-1-A-1-A-A, or call 1-415-370-7752 or 1-415-749-6550. Before I read our next article, I'd just like to ask our DX Audio Service members to answer this question just by calling the Musings line and leaving your comments. Also, when you do call the Musings line, be sure to tell us what city you live in. If something like 9/11 were to happen again, or perhaps a tornado or a hurricane or something that would cause some concern, such as the East Coast blackout, something that would really rattle your world, where would you tune, watch, or read for information that impacts you? Where would you go to find out what's going on? Give us a call on the Musings line, and let's hear from you and see if this article is right on the money or not. When We Need to Know, TV Still It, by Tony Fitzherbert of Media Life. For so long, internet watchers have been waiting for the web to overtake television as a primary source of information. Its immediacy seems to serve perfectly the needs of news-hungry Americans in times of crisis. But it's becoming apparent that the day may never come, that in fact television will remain our first source for breaking news for years to come, though a first source among many. In times of crisis, people will tune to whatever source of information that's handiest. We saw that most recently during last month's East Coast blackout. With the internet out, people in affected areas tuned to battery-powered radios for breaking news. But the internet is playing an increasing role in times of crisis as a place people turn for secondary information, whether for background on terrorists or the nation's power grid. Those are the latest findings from the Pew Institute and American Life Institute, whose new study found that while Americans still tune to television first for information about breaking news, they are becoming more and more interested in using new technology methods as backup or second resources. When a big story happens, one that affects people's own lives and their community,
They want all systems activated, says Pew Institute and American Life Institute Director Lee Rainey. They want cell phones and email alerts, blazing firehouses, things they're going to recognize if they can't be near TV or radio, so that when they need emergency information, they're getting it through any resource available to them. Most of those surveyed, 57%, still would turn on the TV first to get information about a terrorist attack. 15% would use the radio, and just 9% would log on to news and government websites. That effectively wipes out the predictions that seem to come with every new disaster, that this will be the one that sends people to the internet first. Yet Rainey says that it's somewhat incorrect to see it as a matter of television versus the internet. On first alert, people may turn on the TV, but the internet has increasingly become the main secondary source. 22% of respondents say that they would look at news or government sites second when searching for information on breaking news. That's on par with radio, 25%, and television, 22%. Rainey says that in many cases, there's a synergy between television and the internet. When people go to the internet for big news stories, the big news sites are actually those of the big news networks, like CNN.com or MSNBC.com, Rainey said. They're just getting the information from the same source through a different channel. It's probably not quite right to see it as a horse race. No matter where they tune for information, Americans are clearly worried about cyber terrorism. The study, conducted with Federal Computer Week days before the East Coast blackout, found that 49% of respondents fear a cyber attack on U.S. businesses, including more than half of the internet users. 58% of women held that fear, compared to 47% of men. 17% of internet users already have logged on to government websites for information on how to protect themselves from attacks. Where do Americans look for information on terrorist attacks? Where would they turn first? And where would they turn second? The rankings go like this. Television, 54% first, 22% second. Radio, 15% first, 25% second. Government officials, 9% first, 11% second. News websites, 8% first, 17% second. Friends and family, 5% first, 11% second. Government websites, 5% first, 5% second. Newspapers, 1% first, 10% second. And this source is from the Pew Institute of American Life Project and Federal Computer Week survey on emergencies and the internet, August 5th to the 11th. Margin of error is 4%. And that music means it's time for us to get up, get out, and go. But to answer your questions, why all the crazy music on side one of this cassette? Well, it's Halloween, don't you know? Yes, the Halloween edition of the DX Audio Service. Not to be confused with April Fools, because your tape has arrived late. I just want to let you know that because of that late-breaking information on the 1100 and also a hectic schedule here at DX Audio Service headquarters, this magazine is going out on the 4th of October, 2003. So we apologize for a late publishing. This is hopefully not going to set a precedent. We'll be doing this again in the future. I want to get the magazine out usually on the 3rd or 4th week of the month. So we'll see if we can do a little bit better on the next edition. And speaking of our next edition, Crazy Ken wanted me to remind you that if you're looking for a great gift for somebody this holiday season, don't forget to give a gift of the DX Audio Service, because you get one as well. Remember, if you sign up a new member to the DX Audio Service, we give you 2 months to your subscription of the DX Audio Service. So not only do you give a gift, but you get one as well. Contact Ken at the National Radio Club's Publication Center, Post Office Box 164, Mansville, New York, 13661, or give him a call at area code 315-387-3583 and tell Crazy Ken you'd like some more details on this offer. Well, hopefully we'll get our mystery solved on 1100. We came darn close a couple years ago with the 1140 mystery, except it shut off before we had a chance to all directional find it. So you might want to turn on your radio and see if you can find that 1100 mystery sound. It sounds like kind of like another frequency sweeping against 1100. Maybe we'll solve this one. Who knows? That's it. That's all. There ain't no more time, so we're going to get up and go. We'll talk to you in 30 days with more DX stuff. Remember, get out and support radio.